Death Deserved, written by Thomas Enger and Jorn Lier Horst, and read by James Lely.
Let's do it. Gary Gilmore's last words before he was executed. Sunday, 9th of May, 1999. The police radio crackled. 01, seeking all available units for Agmann Bultzwei in Tyson. Alexander Blix glanced across at Garth Fosser. That's just round the corner, he said. Blix slammed his foot on the accelerator as Fosser picked up the mic from the dashboard. 01, this is Fox 2-1, Fosser relayed. We're in Tvettenweien, about 1 minute away. Blix switched on the blue light and sirens, just as more crackling noises filled the car. Fox 2-1, 01 reading you. This is a possible shooting incident. There have previously been reports of domestic violence at the address. Domestic violence, Blix thought. He'd been called out in a number of similar cases, but none where a shot had been fired. He swung into Agmann Bultzwei at the end of Östergravland graveyard, stepped on the gas again, and swept past several blocks of flats with balconies facing the street. Cars were parked on both sides of the road, birch trees at regular intervals. This was what they'd trained for. It was what they'd been looking forward to, being first to arrive at a real crime scene. For a year they'd been rookies, sitting in the back seats of patrol cars. Now they were in charge. Blix's hands clenched the steering wheel. Looks like it's up ahead, Fosser said, pointing to a huddle of bystanders. Blix braked sharply and stopped the car at an angle across the road. He turned off the engine and sirens, but left the blue light on. It came from in there, a woman cried, as Blix and Fosser leapt out of the car. She pointed at a small white house. Sounded like a high-caliber gun, a man added. Has anyone come out since you heard the shots? Blix asked. Or gone in? The woman shook her head. How many people live there? Fosser asked. Four, another woman answered. They've got two little girls, but I think only one's at home. Blix swore under his breath. Okay, he said. Go home and stay inside and lock your doors. As the small crowd dispersed, Blix pushed the garden gate open. You take that side of the house, and I'll take the other one, he told Fosser, pointing in both directions. You're not thinking of going in, Fosser protested. A shot's been fired, Blix replied, and there could be a little kid in there. Safety first, Fosser said, repeating their police college instructor's mantra. We have to wait for backup. Blix was familiar with the directive. The situation called for them to isolate and observe while waiting for reinforcements. But this was no college assignment. Backup could take 10 minutes, he said, and we don't know if we even have 10 minutes. Moving to the car, he opened the boot, unlocked the gun safe and took out his service weapon, then loaded it with 6 cartridges and clicked the barrel into place. Seriously, we really have to... Help the kid, Blix interrupted, pushing past his colleague. If she's in there. He walked up to the front door and squinted through the thick glass window that occupied the top half of the door. Saw nothing. He wheeled around to face Fosser. Are you just going to stand there? Fosser shifted his weight from one foot to the other. I don't like this, he said. Neither do I, Blix replied. But we have to do something. He moved around to the side of the house where he stood on tiptoe, trying to peer in through the only window on the gable wall, but it was too high. He continued on, emerging into a small garden where snow was still piled up. The bushes were brown and scraggly. He spotted a rusty swing frame and a ramshackle veranda, armchairs dotted with cushions, empty brown beer bottles on the veranda floor, and an ashtray overflowing with cigarette butts. Blix stepped warily, fearing the sound of footsteps would signal his presence.